to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have Christopher Gin O'Brien joining us on the show here. In place of the usual Christopher O'Brien, I think he's been possessed.
Well, I'm just trying to come up with new and different ways. I mean, this is the kind of show that I'm going to do a bunch of different kinds of bumpers.
Okay, well, before we get bumped off, David Weatherly joins us. Chris was going to ask a follow-up question from one of our listeners. Chris?
The original question was from one of our more skeptical posters at forum.theparacast.com. And a follow-up question that he had is, what might be the ratio of pure storytelling or confabulation to real phenomena, and I might add, misinterpretation of some natural explainable thing?
You know, it's really hard to put a percentage on that. I mean, you have to look at any individual case or account, I think, to start to delve into that. And there's certainly a percentage of it. I tend more towards what you added in, Chris, you know, mistaken identity or mistaken perception of particular events. The skeptics would have us believe that there are literally, you know, thousands upon thousands of people running around spending their time trying to, you know, perpetrate a hoax on paranormal investigators. And I just don't think it's that dominant in the field. There certainly is a percentage of that, but, you know, it's not to the extremes that some people would have us believe.
I think that also the quality of the investigator and the amount of publicity that they generate tends to attract more cases that are questionable if their thinking is muddy or their conclusions are sensational. I think those types of investigators tend to attract those kinds of cases that are equivocal and you know, sensational sounding. I think the more serious investigators who don't go around trying to create a cult of personality and tend to be open-minded but skeptical, they tend to attract the better quality cases. I don't know if you've noticed that, but I sure have.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And, you know, there's so many people in this field. Let's face it. You know, the shows have led to this concept that anybody can go out and buy a camera and a digital recorder and you know, get team T-shirts printed and they're, you know, expert ghost hunters.
If Jason the plumber can do it, so can
you know,
I.
Well, yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's led to some pretty infuriating situations, I think. And there are even worse expressions of that. You know, I was talking to someone just recently about this quote case that I dealt with. I got a call from a woman who was, you know, referred to me by someone. And this woman called me, Chris. She was completely distraught. She said, my house is infested by demons. And I thought, oh, boy, you know, here we go. And as I started to talk with this woman, she was very genuine. She was just in a terrible emotional state. She was living in a home. She had children. And I said, why, you know, why do you believe this? Well, the paranormal team came in. I thought, okay, here we go. So this paranormal team came in and investigated because she thought, you know, it was an old house and there were a couple of strange things that had happened. So they came in and they did their investigation and they ended up showing her, you know, the quote evidence and terrified this woman. They said, yo, your house is, you know, demonically infested. And here's the evidence. We've got this EVP recording. You know, you hear this noise and they play this noise for her. And I listened to the recording. And she said, oh, this is the demons scratching at the portal, you know, trying to get in. And here's the other evidence in your child's room. If you look closely at the wall, you'll see the number 666 has started to manifest on the wall in red. So, you know, a couple of conversations with this woman, and I went to the house, and I started looking around, and I didn't go in there looking for demons. I went in there to see, okay, what is being experienced? What's the evidence showing? What's really happening here? This woman's emotional reaction side and so forth. So the long and short of it is that, you know, I went in her child's bedroom and I saw this, quote, 666 on the wall. And I looked a bit more closely and I said, you know, would you mind if I took cleaner and started removing some of this paint? And she was fine with that. So, you know, it turned out that the landlord she was renting the place from had basically done a cheap, you know, whitewash job on the walls. And once I started clearing this section of wall, the 6 at 6 was nothing more than a long series of scrawls with a crayon that the previous child had put on the wall, along with a lot of other
demonic, you know, black-eyed drawing, child, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, drawings of other, you know, little animals and things like this were all over the wall. It was a kid's bedroom. He had drawn all over the walls. And, you know, as far as the quote, scratching at the portals, once we got an exterminator in, it turned out to be nothing more than a couple of rats that were trying to nest in a wall behind the, you know, the plaster. So the point is that, you know, people, you know, went in with a particular agenda. They wanted a cool demonic case that they could go post on their website. You know, it's all well and good for them, but it's putting something out there that really hasn't been genuinely investigated or researched. And worse, it's terrifying this poor woman who they just completely abandoned after they convinced her that she had a demonic infestation. So there are a lot of those types of cases that are happening. And, you know, it's all about the agenda, I think, that people approach these things with. You know, it's like you're saying, Chris, anybody can throw a story up on the net and say, oh, I shot a Bigfoot.
I have an alien in my freezer.
Right, an alien in my, you know, but I didn't bring the body back. I buried it in the woods and so forth. So, you know, it doesn't, I'm not sure where I was going with that. But, you know, the point is that it's about the agenda that someone approaches these things with. I try to take a journalistic approach and just present the evidence, you know, after I've verified it to the best of my ability and then put it out there and say, let's look at the threads that connect these things. You know, it's almost more important to me to look at this whole concept that, my God, we have so many of these cases that are showing up. What's behind this? You know, why is this happening? You know, with any given phenomena, even after you pitch out the, you know, the hoaxes and the mistaken identity, you still have a big core of cases.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to start questioning exactly what's going on here. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like your area, cattle mutilations. You know, I'm sure that a portion of those can be attributed to predators, you know, a portion to other things. But, you know, there are enough unexplained circumstances and cases that it warrants a closer look.
Well, and there are cases that have warranted a closer look. A closer look scientifically has been applied, and very definitive results have been produced from scientific testing, which the skeptics and the debunkers and people who want to believe in more exotic theories about what's behind the phenomenon, they fail to bring these cases up. And that leads us to another question, actually. I'm glad that you brought that up. Han, who's one of our fairly frequent posters at forum.theparacast.com. Harry A. Newton is Han. He says, I'm sorry this is a bit of a macabre question, but please
you're in the right show here for macabre questions, because you've got the macabre questioner.
Well, I wouldn't call it macabre. It's just kind of body part oriented. Please ask Mr. Weatherly if he knows of any ceremonies or rituals that require or involve specific organs or parts of animals, especially cows, he adds, that could account for some cattle mutilation cases. And he says also, or alternatively, if my first question was not appropriate, please ask what the best advice or piece of wisdom he has been given by his shaman. So there's a two-parter for you.
You know, I'll answer the second half of that first. I think that, you know, after years of studying with different shamanic teachers, the most valuable lesson that I learned early on from those guys was awareness, you know, essentially keeping a very high level of awareness and just paying attention. I think if more people did that, we would find some very different manifestations in the world. You know, the more you pay attention to your surroundings, the events that are happening, the way people are interacting with you, that's the easiest way I can encompass the concept, just by saying, you know, a high, incredibly high level of awareness.
All right. We'll get to the next part of the answer in our next segment with David Weatherly joining Gene and Chris. And now, Chris is going to be possessed by a creature. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number two, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime Hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
The National Preppers and Survivalist Expo, presented by Triton Shelter Technologies, is the only national event designated for the prepper community. October 19th and 20th at the North Atlanta Trade Center in Atlanta, Georgia. Admission is free, and the doors open at 9 a.m. Join us and learn life-saving tips that can help you and your family handle crisis situations. Special guests include Kevin O'Brien from Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers, David Crawford, author of Lights Out, the director and cast members from the movie Lights Out Saga, and more. Special guest speakers include GCN's own Dr. Joel Wallach, along with Dr. Bones, Nurse Amy, and Tom Martin, the director of the American Preppers Network, two-time Field and Stream champion Chad Weatherford, along with many other leading experts from around the country. Join us for the country's largest emergency preparedness event, absolutely free, October 19th and 20th at the North Atlanta Trade Center in Atlanta, Georgia. For more information, visit npsexpo.com. That's npsexpo.com.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
What creature, Chris O'Brien, were you possessed by?
A medium channeling Cthulhu.
It's easy for you to say. Try to say that five times without, no, forget about it. David Weatherly joining us, answering your questions, listeners, as they are posted at forum.theparacast.com. David, you started an answer, and it's kind of like a multi-part question. So do you have another part?
I sure do.
The cattle, you know, parts. What are they used for?
Wow. You know, well, again, if we go back through the history of various magical traditions, yeah, we do find occasions where specific animal parts were used to varying degrees. You know, there are, for instance, you know, in early divination, they would sometimes take the entrails out of an animal and spill it across the altar area in order to, you know, look at the patterns and so forth and divine what's happening. As far as more modern, right, as far as a more modern context, really, with the whole sort of creation of Satanism in the 70s, you know, Anton LaVey's whole wave of showmanship, along with that, we had a lot of people who started practicing varying degrees of black magic and Satanism and so forth. And really, this is all, a lot of this is modern, you know, fairly modern creation of perversion of more traditional rituals. So you do find some cases where these guys purport to use various animal parts for sacrifice or divination or to achieve a particular goal, you know, to curse someone. I'm thinking more about this. I'm remembering other things. As far as cow parts in some of the Afro-Caribbean traditions, which we would interpret as Santeria or voodoo, you will find there's a whole ritual to silence a person who is speaking against you. And the ritual involves taking a cow's tongue and nailing it to a tree, along with some other specific things within the ritual that purportedly will bind the tongue of the person and stop them from saying bad things about you.
Maybe I should have said before this, yuck alert, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, it is October. It is October, so it's kind of fitting, I guess, we get into some of the more macabre aspects of these things.
Yeah, I've done actually quite a bit of research into this realm as well, which I will be covering in my new book, Stalking the Herd. And in Africa, you do find some pretty interesting subcultural belief systems relating to specific body parts and how they can be used ritualistically, some of which I don't want to go into right now.
Thank you.
I was trying to avoid some of the more colorful uses of certain body parts.
You know, I kind of think here is people are listening sometimes to this show in their cars. You know, they download the version from iTunes. They run it in their cars, they hook up their iPhones or whatever to their car by Bluetooth, and they're listening. And then you say something really interesting like that, and they're ready to just run off the road. You think of massive epidemic of trucks and cars running off the road at something said on the Paracast. I'm thinking of the lawsuits. I'm kidding.
The African practice of female genital mutilation.
Right.
Well, sure.
And that's something that you don't hear about in the West very often, but it's a very real thing.
Right. Well, and we go, you know, to Asia and large portions of Asia that take, you know, animal parts and grind them up and, you know, consume them for energy and vitality and fertility and a wide range of different purposes.
That was quite politically correct. I like that. I kind of cringed where you were going with that, but you did a good save on that one there. Yeah, the human belief systems that develop over time, subculturally around the world, really are quite fascinating. And if it's not of your culture, sometimes there's even a bit of revulsion that might be attached to it. And you know, I really have a sense. And David, you brought this up earlier, that the very power of belief in an individual has presence. But when you combine that individual belief into a collective belief, it has even more presence and possibly power. And then when you look at the possibility that the subconscious of humanity might be manifesting belief in some collective unconscious way, then, you know, the It's really an intriguing area of study that I don't think enough attention has been brought to.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's certainly a path that goes a lot further down the rabbit hole, and it's very compelling. You know, you're talking about this interaction between not just our own subconscious, but also the collective consciousness, and you know, we know relatively little about what humans are completely capable of. I mean, I think we've only scratch the surface of what our abilities are. And, you know, that's in part why a lot of people reach back, I think, to more ancient traditions, you know, even if it's something simple as meditation. You know, it's been a whole craze of creative visualization and things like this that, you know, really resonate with people because they're looking for paths to reach their own greater potential. You know, you said something within the midst of that that really brought this to mind, and I kind of want to go into this a little bit, and this concept of the tulpa, which really is, you know, encompasses what we're talking about here, this whole interaction with some type of energy field that is outside of us, but also, you know, our own consciousness and our own projections. And I'm kind of knee-deep in finishing the next book, which is on this topic right now. And one of the things I found fascinating that I relate is there's a very famous haunted site. I'm sure, you know, most of your listeners have heard of the Myrtles Plantation. Now, the Myrtles Plantation is in Louisiana. It's purportedly one of the most haunted sites in the country. And literally thousands of people go there every year to, you know, take the ghost tour. A lot of people go to stay and to, quote, investigate and try to catch evidence. And when you go down there and you listen to the ghost tour and you listen to the tales that are focused around the Myrtles, you will hear the story of Chloe. Now, the story goes that Chloe was a slave that lived on the plantation. She was having an affair with the master. She sort of fell out of favor. She got caught eavesdropping, and as a result, one of her ears was cut off. So she afterwards always wore a turban to cover that. Now, in order to try to get back in the master's favor, she poisoned the children of the household with what she thought was a mild dose of poison. The idea was to get these kids sick so that she could nurse them back to health and sort of be the hero and be in favor again. But she used too much poison and these kids died. So, as I said, you know, people constantly go there and search for evidence of Chloe. In fact, there's a famous photograph. To my knowledge, it hasn't been debunked that I've really tried to find out more about this photograph. You can find it on the internet. It's a picture that purports to be an apparition of Chloe standing between the main house and the back house.
We will look for Chloe and other people. I gather there are some people listening to us named Chloe, and there are characters on TV shows named Chloe. And we have David Weatherly, and we have Chris O'Brien, and we have Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
My name's Bruno. I'm 52 years old. I've tried different protein powders over the years, and they've all tasted pretty bad. I tried One World Whey and found it to be delicious. After 10 weeks on One World Whey, my wife commented, "You have more muscles and you're leaner than when you were 20 years old. My body has changed dramatically." I'm a cyclist. Normally, I'll ride 2 days on and take 2 days off. After being on One World Whey, I rode 10 days in a row in over 100-degree heat, and then I take another 2 servings of One World Whey, and then work out at the gym for another hour and a half. I just couldn't believe these results. My normal muscle tightness and soreness after working out are virtually gone. Don't take my word for it. One World Whey comes in single servings. Just give it a try.
For a health and taste sensation you'll love, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
Oh, yeah. You're on the Paracast, and we're exploring some fascinating, fascinating stuff with a returning guest, David Weatherly, doing this for 35 years until he gets it right. You want to go on with the story of Chloe?
So we're talking about Chloe at the Myrtles Plantation. You know, on a regular basis, people are going in there collecting, quote, evidence of Chloe. You know, people have caught EVPs that are purportedly her, photographs of apparitions or partial apparitions of Chloe, and people that work at the plantation will report seeing her or having interactions with her. But here's the intriguing thing. Historically, she never existed. The children who purportedly were poisoned and died, historical documents show they actually died of yellow fever. Now, there's no evidence whatsoever of Chloe ever having been a real person. Somewhere along the way, this story was created, and it's been passed down for years and years. And now, with the popularity of ghost hunting, we have people flooding to the Myrtles Plantation looking for evidence of Chloe and finding it. So we have to question exactly why is this happening. We get into the areas of the Tulpa now, you know, an image that has had so much energy put into it from the collective,
the power of collective belief,
that it begins to manifest. Exactly.
Well, one of the, I covered Tulpas and the djinn and a lot of these types of phenomena in my book, Stalking the Tricksters. And one of the most compelling historical figures from the turn of the 19th, 20th century was Alexandra David Neal, who was one of the first women to go to Tibet, Western women to go to Tibet, and claimed that she actually was able to get the training, very rigorous training that it took to allow her to manifest a tulpa. And much to her dismay, she was unable to make it go away. It started getting a life of its own. Give us some other examples. Tulpas have fascinated me for years, and this Tibetan tradition is not well known in the West.
Yeah, and that particular story, that is just that's phenomenal at the woman herself is amazing. I can't believe no one has done some kind of a, you know, blockbuster movie about this woman's life. She, you know, went into the Forbidden Kingdom when it was, you know, closed to Westerners, let alone women. And she, you know, became very close to some of the lamas there and was taught this process to create this tulpa. And, you know, she sort of brought the concept back to the West during her travels when she presented that idea. And, of course, she details it in her Magic and Mystery in Tibet book. But essentially, like you're saying, Chris, she created an image, and to step outside of the cultural confines rather than create something Tibetan, since she was a Westerner, she focused on the idea of this jolly monk, sort of a Friar Tuck type of character. And it's fascinating to look at the process, because he went from an image in her mind to sort of a ghostly apparition to, you know, a fully physical form that was walking around in the midst of the camp. And he became quite terrifying when he took on a life of his own. And eventually she had to go back to the lamas and say, how do I get rid of this thing, you know, now that I've created it? And the completely different process that she had to go through in order to sort of disperse that energy and cause it to go away. But periodically, other people have looked at this concept. It was westernized when Neil brought it back to the UK and Europe, and, you know, the Theosophical Society picked up on it, and they translated it as the concept of the thought form, which is a projected form, essentially the same thing as a tulpa. They just westernized the idea. And periodically this comes up. John Keel investigated it some. And in fact, one of the most fascinating stories I cover in the book is that John Keel was called to investigate a haunting in a house in Greenwich Village. And when he went to the location, he was told by the people living in this house that they were seeing an apparition that was, this male figure with a large cloak on and a large slouched hat. And he kept seeing this thing dart around the house, and you know, it was kind of freaking them out. So they had called Keel, and when Keel started delving into the history of what was going on here, he discovered that the house had previously been owned by Walter Gibson. Walter Gibson wrote under the pen name Maxwell Grant, and he created the shadow.
Yeah, Walter Gibson wrote like 300 shadow novels over a period of, 10 or 15 years? He was also a magician.
Yes.
Interesting character, Walter B. Gibson.
Walter Gibson. Now, here's a phenomenal thing, and I'm sure, you know, this blew me away when I read it. I'm sure Chris will be impressed, too. At his height, Walter Gibson was writing 2 full-length shadow novels per month.
Dang, I have to explain. Like, let me explain something.
It sounds
here.
Like Nick Redfern. Yeah, he wrote somewhere.
Well, maybe
around.
That's where this whole fedora shadow person comes from.
Well,
maybe.
The fedora, of course, is what the shadow wore. If you remember this not well reviewed movie with Alec Baldwin as the shadow, yes. He wears the fedora hat. But there's another thing to bear in mind too here. Is that these novels, we think novels, we think it's, you know, 300 pages of shadow. These were really short novels, okay? Sure, he was writing one every 2 weeks, but they were short novels. It wasn't like a Nick Redfern book or a book by Brad Steiger, which has, you know, like 900 pages or something.
Well, but you also have to account for, you know, yeah, they were, you know, somewhere between 150 and 200 pages each novel. But, you know, Gibson was also writing articles. He wrote pieces on magic because he was a magician. You know, he was writing somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 million words a year. But the point I was going to with that whole thing was you have to account for Walter Gibson sitting in that house, pecking away on a typewriter, you know, writing 2 shadow novels a month, putting all of that mental and creative energy into the concept of this being, you know, this
really
figure,
good point,
this shadow.
David, really good point.
And when you think about the potential manifestation of that amount of energy pouring into something, you know, it's in some ways not surprising that after he's dead and gone that people are seeing this ghostly image. You know, you find this periodically with some of the older writers. Robert E. Howard, who was the creator of Conan, swore that the way he wrote his novels was that the character he was writing about would manifest to him and tell him the story. So, you know, he believed that he would see this apparition of Conan come and relate the tale to him as he sat at his typewriter and, you know, cranked out the story.
He wasn't just writing the story. He was being dictated a story is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, because, you know, Howard started writing, I think his one of his first creations was Brand McMullen, I believe. And when he started writing these stories and sending them to Weird Tales, and the editor, you know, at the time said, you know, they were really successful. And, you know, Howard all of a sudden sends a story about someone else, you know, Conan or King Cole or something. The editor says, no, I want another story of, you know, Brand McMullen. And Howard's response was, well, he stopped coming and talking to me. There's nothing else. You know,
but Conan was, I'll be back.
Right.
And he didn't come back. You know, I think there was talk of having Arnold play like a 75-year-old Conan. I mean, the last film I saw Arnold in, he plays this Southwest detective. And there's one line there where someone beats him up and someone says to him, how do you feel? And he says, I feel old. And I looked at him and I thought, yeah, and you look old. I mean, this guy was, you know, really over the hill. You know, it's too bad that Tom Clancy isn't here. I would have wondered who gave him the stories of Jack Ryan. I can tell you some stories about Tom Clancy because I knew him very, very casually before he became very, very rich. Something that we're not. But we do have David Weatherly, who is rich with knowledge. And we have Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
You're the kind of person who makes smart choices and is always prepared. That's why the PrepMart.com is perfect for you. Cook a great backyard meal with steam in about an hour with the Can Cooker Jr. Normally $74, on sale now for just $64.95. It's great for camping and emergencies, and batteries are on sale. Up to 10% off our low prices right now at ThePrepMart.com. Great customer service you can trust. Get prepared at ThePrepMart.com. That's ThePrepMart.com.
What if you had a witness everywhere you drive? Now you can with video-cam.com. From truckers to motorcyclists, the handy video dash cam can be used for insurance claims, accidents, police encounters, road rage, or natural disasters. Has instant screen playback and optional night vision. Get the best quality, affordable HD dash cameras available at video-cam.com. That's video-cam.com. Or call 855-855-2022. Always have a witness with video dash cam.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
Hi, my name is DeRay. Suffering from migraines, having Botox injections in my head and neck to alleviate pain, costing $1,500 out of my pocket. I discovered Dr. Ortman and Gentle Touch Chiropractic Adjustment called NUCA. I'm migraine-free since my first adjustment. Thanks for giving me my life back, Dr. Ortman. I wish they prescribed you instead of Botox.
Thanks, DeRay. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the solution. We design a nutritional supplement program the body can handle, actually absorb, providing nutrients targeting the problem area. Between NUCA and nutrition, we will have you on the road to a faster and more permanent recovery. Look us up on the web at drwortman.com or call 952-303-9124. Let us help you feel better faster. Wellspring Spinal Care at 952-303-9124. Again, that's 952-303-9124. Or on the web at drortman.com.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Yes, the spiritual side of Chris O'Brien. But no leprechauns. You got a good leprechaun to bring us?
Yes.
Fountain of knowledge, and I think that remark is all wet. David Weatherly joining us. Chris, we're on the last segment of the show. That's how fast it's gone. Any questions left?
Well, this has been fun, David. Thank you so much for being on the show. I just enjoy those rare times we're able to like get together in person, and when we do compare notes, it's always fascinating. I've been a real follower of your work, and we do have a question here, and this is a good one. This is one that I'm wondering about. This comes from Gogs Mackay, one of our forum administrators at forum.theparacast.com. And drum roll, please. Are you aware of any photographs or footage of any black-eyed children or shadow people, or any of these kind of more modern interpretations of paranormal manifestation?
I have seen a photograph of a shadow person that really impressed me. It's unfortunately, it has not been released publicly. It was from a friend of mine who's a researcher out east, and you know, he's just not interested in, you know, trying to become famous or anything like that with it. It's something that he got from an investigation, and it is it's a very curious picture. It appears to be a shadowy human form sort of on the corner by a it looks like it's almost hanging from the ceiling. It's almost Spider-Man like. So it's sort of on the ceiling and on the wall right where the two join. And that's probably one of the most impressive paranormal photographs, you know, that I've seen. As far as the black-eyed children, you know, I really don't put a whole lot of stock in that, simply because, you know, a few seconds on Photoshop, you can make anybody look like a black-eyed person. And
well, with me, they do all sorts of things on Photoshop. There's actually a photograph of me online wearing a suit and a tie. And as Chris knows, I never ever wear a suit and a tie. I think when my son was bar mitzvahed about 14 years ago, maybe.
Well, now, I'll tell you what I do find even more intriguing, Chris, is that some of the cases I've looked into involving these black-eyed kids, when there have been security cameras present, they often experience a weird malfunction, or there will literally be a, you know, just static on the tape. It's one of these things that brings to mind Men in Black encounters, you know, where they seem to interfere with electronic devices that are in range of the experience. And that has happened on more than one occasion. So
it's happened to me personally.
Yeah. So it's something that, again, we have to question exactly what type of manifestation or energy are we dealing with that disrupts those electronics in the area.
I was doing an investigation up in Jerome, Arizona. I was in the hallway on the second floor of the Connor Hotel.
Mm.
We had finished doing a interview with a psychic who had gone through the building and did a very good job, by the way. And while I was down taking some lights down to the vehicle, Ron, the director, had put the camera at the end of a hallway, pointing down the empty hallway, which I was going to be subsequently walking up. Right behind the camera was a huge mirror. As I was walking up the hallway, I noticed the camera was there instead of in the room where we were interviewing the psychic, and I saw the red light on. I start mugging for the camera when I got about 20 feet away, and in the mirror I saw a silhouetted shadow figure lean out from the wall and look at me, but it was behind me. I was looking in the mirror, and I thought, oh my God, we did it. It was a brand new 3D Panasonic camera. The light was on. I ran into the room and I said, we've made history. We just filmed in 3D. I called it a ghost, but then thinking back quickly, I realized it was more of a shadow person. I saw no features. It was only a silhouette. And there was no doorway or anything in the hallway where this happened, about 10 feet behind me. And we couldn't initialize the footage. It was a brand new camera. This is the first shoot it had been used on. It's worked fine ever since, but we could not initialize.
Explain to our listeners, this is getting into be all this geek talk. What does initialize the image mean to regular people?
Well, okay, video cameras used to have tape. Now they're hard drive cameras. And in order, when you hit the stop button when you're on record, it says, do you want to initialize or save this particular clip? And he tried to save it, and it wouldn't save it. It wouldn't initialize the clip so that it could be saved into memory. So somewhere in that camera, on that chip, is 3D footage. Not just regular video footage, but a $22,000 3D camera took footage of something leaning out from a wall behind me as I'm walking towards the camera. And I thought we'd made history. And it's still to this day, I am so... I'm so, like, grinding my teeth about that. I thought, oh, man, we did it.
And you know, Chris, I know the exact spot you're talking about because the last time I was there in the Connor in that same exact location where that mirror is, you know, I had a fellow investigator with me, and I could not get my camera to operate. I went through three different batteries that were fully charged, and every one of them died immediately when I put it in the camera.
Yeah, well, in this case, the red light was blazing, you know, the record light. I could see it.
Right.
But we just were unable to actually save the... It was actually a seven-minute clip. It was the last 5 minutes of our interview with the psychic, and then he just grabbed the camera, never turned it off, and put it in the empty hallway, facing down the hallway, while I was downstairs delivering gear to the street, and was on my way back up, walking down the hallway, and I saw this figure. And initially, I thought it was somebody in the hotel. This was like 10:30 at night. And I thought it was somebody in the hotel that heard me walk by and opened their door and leaned out to look who it was. And when I raced back, I mean, when I saw this figure, I instantly turned around and raced back the 10 feet, and there was no door there. So, and as it turns out, there was actually nobody in that part of the hotel that actually I could have misconstrued as being a shadow person or a ghost or whatever. So to be honest, on the record, this is the only time I have ever seen some sort of potential shadow person, spectral figure, ghost, disincarnate energy in a human form, that sort of thing. And I thought we'd made history. We got it on 3D.
Did you think that maybe you heard in the background just faintly that laughter? Shadow now.
Staring at the door. And that's something about shadow people, David, that has always kind of made me scratch my head. There's a high percentage of shadow people that are wearing a hat like the shadow used to wear. What's up with that?
Well, you know what, Chris? Once again, if you go back to, you know, further back in history, you'll find that earlier shadow manifestations were often described as monk-like figures wearing a robe, you know, with one of the hoods that pulls up. So we may be seeing, again, some type of cultural impression, or perhaps, you know, whatever that entity or energy is, it's utilizing more contemporary cultural ideas.
Which may be somehow generated collectively.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. So we have channeled the memory of the late Walter B. Gibson, who wrote many of those shadow novels. We didn't channel that movie that Alec Baldwin did. We didn't channel the radio show with Orson Welles and a number of other actors, Orson Welles actually playing it for only a couple of years. David Weatherly, tell our listeners where they can find more of your stuff.
You can purchase the books at leprechaunpress.com. Gene, you were looking for the leprechaun. There it is. You can follow my work at, I have a blog at twocrowsparanormal.blogspot.com. That is T-W-O-C-R-O-W-S, paranormal.blogspot.com.
Folks, if you go to the Leprechaun book site, there's a link there to his blog. You don't have to remember it. We've got one over at theparacast.com. So nothing has to be remembered. Just we offer this courtesy to our guests.
David and I will also be presenting at the Paradigm Symposium in St. Paul, Minnesota in a couple, 3 weeks.
Really looking forward to that. It's going to be an incredible event.
Looking forward to it. By the way, you can find us at theparacast.com, the forums at forum.theparacast.com. You can find the Paracast on Twitter. And you can find 2 Paracast fan clubs on Facebook, and maybe someday they'll tell us how to make it 1 on the same account. David Weatherly, thank you for joining us this week on the Paracast.
Pleasure as always, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast. America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains 3 groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled T-E-R-A-G-A-N-I-X.com. Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.